Welcome, friends, to Agency Wellness, the podcast. My name is Cody Marr. After decades living with the diagnosis of chronic illness, I began to ask myself if this diagnosis, this label, was really helpful. I started to challenge my own learned concepts as well as cultural concepts of what it means to be well. I spent years studying all sorts of techniques and experimenting with different modalities. I took course after course and certification after certification. All of this amazing knowledge has enriched my life and informed how I care for myself and who I am as a practitioner. However, my greatest teacher and my most credible source has been and continues to be my own amazing body. Agency Wellness was born out of the feeling that just like actors need agents to support and guide their careers, sometimes in the wild, wild world of wellness, you need a health agent. Someone you can trust to help you navigate the various twists and forks and bumps you inevitably encounter as a human living in today's world who wants to feel well, be well, who wants to be, let's just say it, happy and healthy. This podcast will help you expand your knowledge, vision, and practice of wellness. I'll be bringing you heartfelt conversations with a variety of experts in fields such as naturopathic medicine, feng shui, life coaching, womb healing, psychic guidance, creativity, Pilates, and so much more. It's my hope and intention that from these conversations, you can begin to tap into your own unique and ever-evolving wellness recipe. I'll be right here with you the whole way. So let's dive in. This week on Agency Wellness, I am excited and honored to welcome Erica Barron to the podcast. Erica is the creator behind the blog and Instagram account Clean Living with Erica. She is passionate about educating consumers on how to eliminate exposure to toxic chemicals found in everyday products. Her passion stems from her own history of hormone imbalances and gut issues, and her journey led her to discover how impactful chemicals can be on our own health. She does the research, so you don't have to. This conversation was so informative, and Erica shares so many great tips. We cover topics such as Erica's personal journey to clean living, top ingredients to avoid, greenwashing, our emotional connection to scent, top categories to make clean swaps, how to not get overwhelmed when switching to safer products. Erica also shares some amazing stories of what can happen in the body when you eliminate these toxic chemicals in personal care and cleaning products. We go into so much more, so grab a cup of tea or water or juice or maybe a cocktail and join me in welcoming Erica to the podcast. Welcome, Erica. I'm so happy you're here.
I'm excited to be here. It's something I'm super passionate about and I really just get fired up and jazzed. So I can't wait.
Let's do it. So let's just start with a little bit about who you are, what got you into clean beauty, clean living, clean products, clean swaps, all the clean things, and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So we were just chatting before, but for listeners, I'm based in Los Angeles. Love it here. Love the sunshine. Really am all about getting vitamin D and being outside. Yeah. So it's perfect. So I started my like clean living health journey around when I was in college. So we're going like over a decade now. So when I was in high school, I stopped getting my period when I was 17. And, you know, my mom brought me to different doctors, my regular doctor, gynecologist. And at the time, they said that I had a hormone imbalance, which is why I wasn't getting my period. The first doctor said I was underweight. So she put me on a milkshake a day diet. And I did that. At first, I was like, you know, I'm 17. I was like, cool, I'll eat ice cream every day. And then about like maybe a week into it, I was like, I feel so sick. I cannot do this. It's disgusting. So my mom brought me then to like my gynecologist and that's where she identified the hormone imbalance and she put me on birth control. She basically was like, easy fix, not concerned about it, put you on birth control at 17. I didn't think much of it at the time. I tried out birth control for a little bit and I did not like the way I felt on it. I told my mom, like, I really don't want to be on birth control. I want to get off. So she brought me to a nutritionist and I am just so grateful that she happened to find a really good nutritionist. And I think nutrition is an area where there's so many different methodologies and backgrounds. And I think I found someone who took a really holistic approach to nutrition. And she told me to eat foods that were really high in omega-3 fatty acids, incorporate more flaxseed into my diet, and do all these things from a nutrition standpoint. And I got my period back and it was so cool. And that was like the first time I saw, wow, like what we put in our bodies like really affects our health. You know, fast forward, I went to college. It was way harder to make sure I was getting all of those nutrients. So I did end up going back on birth control. It was also just a convenient form of birth control. And then it wasn't until I was approaching my 30s when I started to think more about, like, I've been on birth control for a while. I really don't know what's going to happen if I go off. And around that time, I also just started researching on my own. You know, I was already aware of food, but I started to dip my toes into all of the products and the chemicals that we're surrounding ourselves with. And as soon as I like cracked the door open a little bit, you know, I couldn't shut it. And that's where I started learning about all the different endocrine disrupting chemicals that are in personal care products, cleaning products. And it was this major like aha moment for me, because as I'm sure you can relate, I was dousing myself in like Victoria's Secret and Fabulous and like all the chemical filled product stuff, Teen Spirit, like everything that is just so filled with endocrine disrupting hormones. And that was, I'd say that was probably about 5 years ago. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to go off birth control and I'm going to like clean up the products that I'm using. I'm going to focus on my health. And my period came back like just on its own pretty quickly. And, you know, I've since had blood work done and my hormones are looking pretty good. And it just is amazing to me how much impact the products and the food that we put into our body has an impact on our health.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I feel like, you know, again, we were chatting before and I feel like this is kind of sometimes a missing area for people or a really scary area. Like it's could be very overwhelming too, to start to think about, you know, oh my God, everything I'm using, everything I'm surrounded with. We live in a very, especially in America, a very toxic environment, unfortunately. So I think it's so interesting that that's the direction that you went, you know, in terms of with your health. What do you think led you there? Like most people, I would say like, oh, they get into nutrition and they don't really think much about the products. Like, what do you think it was that kind of, do you have an interest in that stuff or what led you down that path?
Yeah, I did have an interest in it. I actually considered majoring in nutrition in college, ended up doing psychology instead and going down a different career path. To be honest, I don't know that there was really one thing that sparked my interest. I think I remember hearing about parabens years and years ago and the links to breast cancer. And I think just hearing that just made me start to question things more. And like you said, it is a missed area. Like I already knew so much about nutrition and health, and I was eating as much as I could, like whole foods and limiting processed sugar and anything processed. But we don't learn much about the chemicals. So I think as soon as I heard that connection of like parabens linked to breast cancer and then aluminum and deodorants also linked to breast cancer, I was like, there's something here. And so then I kind of just out of interest started researching a little bit more about it. I started looking at the ingredients in my products and noticing how prevalent parabens were. And then I became that person who was in the personal care aisle with the Healthy Living app or the Think Dirty app, which you're probably familiar with.
EWA app, yeah.
Like scanning everything and looking at the ratings. And that was when I was like, wow, like things that I thought were safer or better, you know, like Bare Minerals is advertised as like, it's a mineral-based makeup. And I was using that for so long. And I think that gets like a 7 or 10 rating and on the toxicity scale on the EWG and Think Dirty. And so, yeah, that was just really eye-opening for me. And then I would spend 30 minutes scanning every product until I found ones that looked safer.
Yeah, that's amazing. And where's the line for you? Because here's something that I'm dealing with in my own life as well, which is that I'm into all the same things. Like, I'm very careful about what I put on my body, what I put in my body. But it's kind of challenging. You can't live in a bubble, right? Like, you want to live in the world. You want to, some people want to travel, or, you know, have the option to travel, and you're in the air and there's not filtered. And, you know, did that ever go into neuroticism for you? Like, did you ever, or were you able to sort of stay in balance? Like, how do you really balance living life, being in enjoyment, and also being so aware of all of these chemicals and everything that is around us all the time?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question and important topic area. I think if you ask my husband, he'll say, yes, I'm neurotic about everything. but no, I do think that it is about balance. And
yeah,
one thing that is really important for people to know and understand is our bodies do detox naturally. Your liver is primarily what is responsible for detoxing whatever is coming into your body that your body doesn't need. So we do have that ability. I think it's really important that we are more so aware and mindful of how much exposure we're getting to toxic chemicals. Yes, you're right. We can't live in a bubble. There's no way in the world we're living in that you're going to eliminate all toxic chemicals. But there is so much benefit to just doing what you can to limit what you have control over. And so for me, that's any product that I'm buying for myself that is personal care product or a cleaning product that I'm using in my home, I make sure that it is safe. If I'm going to someone's house, I'm not going to say like, oh my gosh, please don't use bleach when I'm around. You know?
Brought my own hand soap. Hope you don't mind.
Exactly. Like, I'll use whatever antibacterial hand soap is there. So I like to say, like, I live by the 80-20 rule. I think as much as we can do and as much as you can control, it's great. And I also like to tell people when they're first starting out on this journey, because it can be overwhelming once you become aware of how many products in your own home are filled with toxic chemicals. I always tell people, start with like one thing at a time. There's some really cool recent research called the Hermosa study. I believe it was out of UC Berkeley that found that in just 3 days of girls eliminating personal care products with parabens and BHPs, in just 3 days, the level of those chemicals in their urine was significantly decreased. So even if you've been using these products for years and years, it does not mean that you're just doomed. You can make a difference. And so, yeah, I always tell people, like, start with one area and slowly switch things out as you kind of move through this journey.
I love that. That's such great advice, just to start slow and to not get overwhelmed. And luckily there's people like you out there that has done a lot of this research and has been, you know, shares it. Tell people your website. Just, I'll put it in the show notes too, but you know.
Yeah. My website is cleanlivingwitherica.com. It's Erica with a C. And then that's also my Instagram handle. So I share both. I'm not as up to date on the blog, but I do try to stay pretty up to date with Instagram. And I love connecting with people and I love hearing what information people are looking for. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I forget, like, all this information's in my mind and I forget that some people don't know everything that I know. And so, yeah, hit me up on Instagram and like send me messages of what products you want research on or what areas you want to learn more about. Cause that helps me know, like, you know, what should I educate on?
Yeah. And I think that's really important too. Like, if someone has a real innate interest in this, then maybe they'll go down the rabbit holes that exist and do that research. But if you're listening to this and you're feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm overwhelmed, you know, that's why Erica's here on this amazing, you know, doing this amazing research essentially as a service too for everybody. So thank you so much for doing that. And what do you think are, like, okay, someone's like, all right, what's your like top things to avoid?
Yeah. Oh, that's a tough question.
I know. I realize that.
Yeah. So I try to break things up into categories. So I've done a couple home clean swaps for clients, and I break it up into like your bathroom, your laundry room, and your kitchen. Mm. Those, I think, are the three main areas. You can delve a little bit deeper into like bedding and furniture and things like that. I think those are like the later down the line things. I think the easiest are those three sections of your home. And so I guess I would say start there, like look at what products are there. And then I really do like the EWG app. And so I tell people, scan your products, find what is like the highest rated on the toxicity level, and know that like that's going to be the product that you swap out first. The other thing I tell people is in those same categories in your bathroom, you want to look at the products that you're using every day that sit on your skin, because those chemicals are getting absorbed into your bloodstream, as opposed to the things that you're washing off, or maybe you only use it on the weekends. So those are going to be the products you swap out first, what sits on your skin that you use daily. And then when you go into like the kitchen, I say same thing, the products that you're using daily that you're inhaling. So a cleaning spray, I would swap out before like your dish detergent or your dish soap.
Makes so much sense. That's super helpful. Thank you for sharing those tips. And you know, what's coming to mind for me is my frustration with the lack of regulation in this area. Like, I feel like there's so many brands out there that are marketed as healthy or safe that are just so not. And I don't, you know, I'm not here to knock any brands per se, but for example, Mrs. Meyers. Yeah. I feel like so many people are like, oh, I'm using Mrs. Meyers. And I'm really sensitive to smell. Like, I can't stand it. Like, it's just so awful. So it's just like, I think that with that advice, it's really important to remind people to go to a site like yours or to use the EWG app, just to make sure like when they're swapping it, they're not just swapping it to something that's like marketed as healthy or clean, right? Like, how do you feel about that area of things?
Yeah. That's a really challenging area to navigate because greenwashing is everywhere. And for the regular consumer, it is really hard. I mean, admittedly, I've gotten sucked into greenwashing before. I'll see something and I'm like, oh, it says it's plant-based, it's biodegradable, no harmful chemicals. Cool, it's great. And then I'll bring it home and then I'll research it and I'll look at the ingredients in it. And I realize that it's maybe slightly better than like bleach or Clorox, but it's not great. Mm-hmm. I think a good telltale sign when you're looking at a product is to see if it has fragrance listed as an ingredient. So fragrance is really a loophole. Like you said, there's really limited regulation, both when it comes to personal care products and cleaning products. And fragrance is considered a company's proprietary blend or trade secret. So they don't have to disclose the ingredients that they're using. That means there can be upwards of like, I think it's about 500 different chemicals and ingredients that can be used in a fragrance. So for me, if a company is using fragrance, even if it looks clean, that's a red flag to me that I don't know what other things are hiding in that. If it does not label fragrance, I think that's a good sign that, okay, it's probably a safer product for you. There's no fragrance. They're being transparent about the ingredients that are in that product.
And what would you say? Like, I know some products have like, this says like fragrance and then it says derived from, you know, essential oils or something. Like, what are your feelings on things like those sort of ones?
Yeah, I think that that's tricky. There are some products that I'll use that, you know, if I find a product I really like, maybe it's a hair product. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find hair products that don't use any fragrance at all. And so I will be okay with that, where it's fragrance and it says derived only from essential oils. And again, I know it's something that I'm washing off. I'm not leaving on my skin. And that's again, where I live by the 80-20 rule, right? Like, okay, there's no parabens in it. For the most part, the ingredients look clean. I'm going to trust that they're being transparent. Sometimes I'll even actually reach out to a company. I'll like try and message them on Instagram or email them and actually ask, can you tell me exactly what's in your fragrance? Sometimes they respond, sometimes they don't. But yeah, I would say like, if there's a product that you really, really like, it works well for you, you haven't found an alternative that doesn't contain any fragrance at all, I think essential oils is always going to be a better option than something that just says fragrance.
Awesome. Amazing. These are so helpful. Thank you so much for sharing all this.
You're welcome.
I don't know why this question is coming in. So we're going to take a little bit of a tangent maybe, but what's exciting for you right now, like in this realm, like what are you excited about in the realm of, you know, clean living and healthy living and all that stuff?
I think I'm most excited about how much awareness is starting to be spread about this because these chemicals we're exposed to have such incredible impact on our health, especially in, you know, the developed countries. We're seeing so many instances of cancer. The stats now for breast cancer in women, it's something like 80% of breast cancer does not have a genetic link, which means it's linked to environmental causes. Rates of infertility are going up, heart disease, obesity. And it's so frustrating and angering to me that so much of this can be prevented by education and knowledge and better regulations by the FDA. So it's exciting to me that more companies are hearing this message and starting to bring awareness to their brands and their products. And I think consumers are starting to be more aware and they're asking for this.
Yeah. I agree. I'm so with you. And at the same time, it brings us back to that other issue, which is that I feel like the comparison I have is I was a circus performer for many years before I got into health and wellness. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, it was fun. And I was in it in a time where it was very novel and rare. And then all of a sudden, there was this, you know, Pink did this performance at the Grammys, and there was this influx of interest in circus. And then there became a lot more. And in that, there became sort of, I don't know how to say this exactly, but like, it was a little hazy. Like if someone wanted to take an aerial class, they didn't know what kind of instructor they were getting because everyone was teaching aerials, right? And it's kind of like that. It's like the more interest there is, the more companies are, you know, unfortunately, many companies are only interested in the bottom line, right? So they're like, oh, we have to come out with a green product version of ours. So it's such an interesting topic, right? Of like, how do you really, like, I'm sure Coke Zero is not any better than regular Coca-Cola, but yeah. So I don't know. I'm curious, like how you feel about that part of it, you know, as there becomes more awareness, it's almost like, I almost feel like you have to be more careful in some strange way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's good and bad. I think, yeah, to your point, I definitely see companies like Neutrogena, you know, huge skincare company, putting out products that say paraben-free or sunscreen that says mineral-based. So I think it's a good thing that they're moving in that direction. I just think there's still so much room for growth still. I think those products that they're creating are better because they don't contain all of the endocrine disrupting chemicals, but they still contain some. And right. I think it's up to us as consumers to continue to question everything that's in our products and try and do the research and push the FDA to do the research as well. So something that I do, you know, in addition to my blog and Instagram, I'm part of a company called Beauty Counter. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but so it's a skincare and makeup company that is really focused on all of this clean products. And part of what we do with Beauty Counter is we're advocating for safer beauty laws to be passed at the federal level. So over the last 9 years, we've helped pass 10 new legislations that are getting us, you know, steps and steps forward. And so, yeah, I think for me, that's something I'm also really passionate about is we need to have change at the federal level in the laws that are written regulating these products. And then as consumers, we need to continue to question what is being put in our products.
Yeah. And that's such a great tip too. I mean, if someone, you know, Beauty Counter is such a reliable place to go for these things. So there are these ways that we can make it easy for ourselves. You know, if someone doesn't want to do the research, it's like, just find a company like that, buy your stuff there, call it a day, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And that's a lot of what I share. Like on my website, there's a link that has some of my favorite products. And that's really what I've done is I try to find brands that I've done the research on the brand, I've vetted them, and I'll share those, you know, with my followers and on my blog. Because yeah, once you find a brand that you know and trust, it does make it so much easier. You know, you can get all your cleaning supplies from one or two brands, you can get all your personal care and beauty from one brand, and you know that they're doing the research, they're testing their products and making sure they're safe before they're in the hands of consumers.
Yeah. And sometimes you can do that with stores too, but that's a little trickier. Like, I think one of the traps with nutrition, for example, is people go to Whole Foods and they think like, oh, anything in Whole Foods is going to be fine.
Yeah, for sure.
Really not the case, everybody. I'm so sorry to tell you.
Yes, definitely.
But yeah, so I think, you know, also I think I'm sure you advise this to people too, of like just sort of feeling out where you are on the scale, right? Like, some people are going to be really into this and really want to go deep and really want to make sure that everything they're using on their, forget themselves too, but also their children, is mm-hmm. safe. And other people might want to just make a couple little swaps, not use this, you know, Tide Free and Clear might be just fine for them. And that's okay too, you know, just sort of at least making a conscious decision, I feel like, is really important. Do you agree?
I totally agree. I think that's the most important. I think arming yourself with as much knowledge as you can to make the decision that's right for you. Yeah. And yeah, if, like you said, if that decision is I'm using Tide Free and Clear because that's the only thing I find that works, go ahead and use that Tide Free and Clear. I think the most important thing is you know what chemicals you're exposing yourself to. And maybe you're making switches in other areas to decrease your toxic exposure and that toxic load, but you have the awareness and the education and the knowledge. I think it's, you know, where I find it scary and frustrating is when there are so many consumers that don't have this knowledge and they are relying on just these companies. Like, I'm just going to go to the grocery store and pick up any laundry detergent, and they have no awareness or idea that it's filled with chemicals that could be affecting their health and their family's health. And so that's why I want to bring this awareness, because then I, you know, you're armed with knowledge and you can make the decision that works for you.
Yeah, 100%. And on the flip side of this, so detoxification, right? If we're going to be talking about chemicals, we should talk a little bit about detoxification. It's such a hot button topic, right? Everybody's hearing the word detox, detox this, detox that. And, you know, I really want to know what your personal philosophy is, how you manage that in your life. Because like we said in the beginning, even if we're doing our absolute best, we can't lock ourselves in an air purified, water purified, whole food bubble. and I mean, you can, but it wouldn't be that much fun. So what's your relationship with detoxification for yourself and your family and your friends and whoever asks you?
Yeah. I love detox. I think it's amazing. And yeah, like you said, it's such a buzzword. When I refer to detox, I'm talking about supporting my body's natural detox pathways to the best that I can. I do not personally believe in supplements that claim to detox. I have never and will never do like a juice cleanse. I think you can do maybe a food detox or a health detox where you're loading your body up with greens and foods that support your liver, because there's so many foods and natural herbs that support your liver, you know, eliminating alcohol for a period of time, eliminating sugar, caffeine, all the things that are hard on your liver. I'm in support of that. Like, let's do a food detox, but you're still eating. Not a proponent of like the fad juice cleanses and whatnot. And then I think it's so good to just support your liver through every day modalities. So I mentioned that there's a lot of great herbs to support your liver. Dandelion root is mm-hmm. one, ashwagandha. And so there's a lot of teas, and, you know, they might say it's a detox tea. I, you know, you can't see my air quotes.
She's doing air quotes, people.
Detox tea. You know, I don't totally agree with the marketing on that. However, what that means is this is a tea with tons of herbs that's going to support your liver, which is responsible for detox. Some other things that I do are things like dry brushing to activate mm-hmm. your lymphatic system, which is also one of your detox pathways, making sure to sweat. So either exercising and getting a good sweat in, going and walking outside when it's hot out. I also have a sauna blanket, which I'm a huge fan of.
Nice. So higher dose.
Yeah. Those are just some of the ways that you can help your body detox naturally. Drinking a lot of water. It's recommended that you drink half your body weight in ounces of water per day. All of that is naturally supporting your liver and your lymphatic system. And so you're going to be detoxing on a regular basis. There's no need to do a cleanse or anything like that.
I could not agree more. I mean, I think sometimes if someone's dealing with a specific medical condition or something like that, you know, there's certain things that can be supportive in that realm, but I think this is so important. So I just want to like, guys, I'm taking like a virtual voice highlighter right now. And we're really going to highlight that. I want people to, as best as they can, make this mind shift with us today that like detox is something our body does naturally every single day, every single moment. Sleep is detoxifying. Breathing is detoxifying, all of these things. And it's not a pill you take. It's not a cleanse you do. It's something that you can support naturally. So Erica, thank you so much for that wisdom and knowledge. And some of those things she mentioned, my favorite tea for helping my liver is Dandy Blend. Have you ever had that?
I don't think I've tried that one. I've heard of it.
It's so good. check it out. If you guys like coffee and you don't want to drink coffee, Dandy Blend is like, I'm drinking it right now. It's great. Anyway, but I think that's so important. I think it's so important for people to just really take that in about like detoxification is something that I can support daily. It's not something that I need to, it can be a lifestyle. It doesn't have to be something that is done, you know, every new year or something like that. Right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And something you mentioned too, and I just to say this also, yeah, if you are dealing with a specific health or medical situation, then maybe you're doing some sort of detox under the guide of a doctor. And that
exactly,
like if you're doing a heavy metal detox or something and you're working with a practitioner, you know, that's fine. I wouldn't go out and buy something that's advertised as like, take this and it'll detox heavy metals.
Right. Oh my God, please don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Really dangerous. Really dangerous.
Yeah, really dangerous.
Another one we didn't mention, but having bowel movements every day also really detoxifying. And so that kind of leads into, you know, we're going in a tangent here, but making sure that your digestion is working well so that you're having healthy bowel movements on a daily basis. And that is detoxifying.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I work with clients that want to detox, I always make sure their detox pathways are open. Like, you know, you can't put somebody on a detoxifying protocol if they're not having regular bowel movements, because that's going to be really, really challenging for their body. You know, so it's an important part of having these pathways in our body, our lymphatic system, sweating, moving, bowel movements, urine even. I mean, actually, no, we don't detoxify through urine, but, you know, all these other things like that need to happen in order for that to really process. So that's a great place to start, I think, for people. Like if you're wondering how your detoxification in your body is going, just think about your detox pathways, think about sweating, think about bowel movements. And, you know, if that's something that's not happening regularly, then that's something, a good place to start, right? Would you agree?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about kids. Mm-hmm. Have you done a lot of research on products for children and stuff like that? Is that a realm that you've delved into? And how do you feel about that?
Yeah. So it's something I've looked into. I haven't done a ton of research on products in that area, mainly because I'm not there in my life yet.
Right.
But I'm
give
sure
her a few years, she'll have a whole list.
I'm already like, the wheels are already spinning of like, right, the time my life comes, like that's going to be my entire blog and Instagram will shift to how to support kids in this area. But I have done a little bit of research and there are a lot of great brands that are geared towards kids. The Honest Company, which mm-hmm. you know, might seem weird because it's Jessica Alba's company, but that one actually is really great. Gets good ratings on the EWG. So I think there are a lot of companies that are putting out really great products for kids. And when it comes to kids, you really don't need much in the way of ingredients, right? So I think just like the more simple you can keep it, the better. And kids don't need a lot of products. Like women on average use 12 products on their face before they walk out the door in the morning.
Wow.
Right. And so like our kids don't need that. They're not wearing makeup. They don't need like different moisturizers. So like, you know, I think my advice there is just keeping it as simple as possible when it comes to kids.
Yeah, for sure. That's great advice, especially, you know, sunscreen or, you know, a lotion they might need, whatever, but really keeping it simple.
Yeah. But where I think it is important to consider kids is in your household. And again, what products you're using. Kids are much more likely to have a toxic load burden because they're so small. And so when you're using a cleaning spray, they're inhaling just as much as you are, but because their bodies are so small, it has a much bigger impact on kids also, you know, their bodies are still developing, their detox pathways are developing. So I think it is important to be really mindful of what products you're using in your household when you have young kids around.
Yeah, that's such helpful advice. And you sort of mentioned this before, and I have a feeling about this, but I'm really curious what your answer is. If there were someone that's like, all right, I can do one thing, like either a cleaning product or a personal care, like what's the one thing that you would tell a man or a woman or a non-binary person to say to swap out? Like, what would be that one thing?
Oh, okay. Can I pick two?
Yeah, totally. You can pick two.
All right. If you're using any sort of bleach or Clorox spray, I would say ditch that first. Bleach. Anything that has bleach, get rid of that. And then second, I would say probably your face moisturizer or foundation.
Interesting.
Those are the things that we use most that are on our skin that are most likely to have endocrine disrupting ingredients. Mm. And then, yeah, when it comes to cleaning products, bleach is the number one ingredient I would say to get rid of. It's highly, highly toxic, and it's typically in sprays that you're inhaling.
Yeah, I cannot handle the bleach. I will like run from a room if there's bleach.
Yeah, yeah. And it's crazy because once you start getting rid of these products and you're not exposed to them, you can probably relate to this. I literally cannot walk down the laundry aisle or the cleaning aisle in a grocery store. It's like instant headache.
Yep.
It's wild.
I'm really curious about that. I honestly don't know why that happens, but I agree with you. And it's funny. My husband actually gets annoyed with me sometimes. Like, I never used to be sensitive to all these things until they left the environment. So I don't understand. Like, I wish that I had a scientific answer for why that happens, but it's been my experience too. So I'm just curious for you to say more. Like, what do you know about that? Like, why does that happen?
Yeah. So similar to you, I don't have the exact scientific answer. But my hypothesis would be that your body almost gets used to the burden over time because you have these small exposures over time. And then once you get rid of them and your body completely detoxes those chemicals that it was exposed to, then only a little bit is what's going to have an impact on your body. It's your body's no longer used to carrying that burden. And so then a little bit's going to have an impact.
Yeah. I love that analogy. It's almost like, you know, the backpack analogy. You're carrying this backpack with all these chemicals and your body's like, well, this is what I got to do. So this is what I got to do. Right.
Exactly.
And then you take the backpack off and you go to pick it up again. The body's like, I carried that thing for 10 years. Like, no way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh man. And here's sort of a related question. With the people in your own life or in your husband's life or anyone that you know or clients that you've worked with, what are the changes? Because sometimes I feel like this can be a challenge for people, is that this can be a little amorphous, right? Like, they understand that they should do this and they understand that there's a risk associated with not doing this. But sometimes, because it's not such a drastic, dramatic, you know, result, it sometimes can be a hard bridge for people to cross. So I'm curious if you can share any stories of like, I took this out and this happened. I mean, you started with your own story, which is so powerful, but anything else that comes to mind, I'd love to hear.
Yeah. So this isn't my personal story, but I do have a friend that I know through Beauty Counter, and her husband was really prone to skin cancer. Mm. And the doctor pretty much said, you just cannot be in the sun ever. Mm. Because you're going to get skin cancer. And so he already had a few spots on his face that were surgically removed. And then she joined Beauty Counter and she switched out all of their products. You know, they were using conventional products with different chemicals in them. They were using conventional sunscreen with octinoxate, oxybenzone. And after they made that switch and started using all of Beauty Counter's safer products, he has not had any instances of skin cancer.
And how long did that take? How long was the time from like when they started using the products to this, prognosis?
I think it was about 2 years.
Wow. After that's amazing.
2 years, he had no other instances, and like the doctor just couldn't really explain it. But yeah, that's, you know, anecdotal. And then, another one of my friends did, in vitro for her first kid because they were having trouble infertility, couldn't get pregnant naturally. So she did in vivo and at the time also froze the eggs that they got. So they knew they wanted more than one kid. She had her first kids, they were twins, And then years during that time between her first kids and her second is when she started learning about chemicals and all of these products and switched everything out. Started, you know, using products that did not have these endocrine disrupting chemicals. And then a few years later, when she went back to the doctor for her next round of in vitro, they tested her levels and everything. And she was completely fine. Like they told her she had the option of doing in vitro, or she would most likely be able to conceive naturally. They ended up doing in vitro because they already had the eggs, but I thought that was really powerful. You know, even just that's testing, medical testing that showed just over a few years, the significant difference where first they're telling her you cannot get pregnant unless you do in vitro, to then 2-3 years later, there's no signs of infertility.
It's amazing. It's such a testament to the power of the body, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like we talked about the body's ability to detox. And so, you know, going back to what we talked about earlier of, you know, I don't want people to feel this overwhelming stress or burden when it comes to the products that they're using and having to swap everything out, because you will notice, or there you will, even if you don't notice it, there will be impactful change over even just a year, 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah. And I think actually going back to something we recently talked about, the thing that we both can't explain, which is that all of a sudden you have this aversion. I feel like that's a really good marker actually. It's just, you know, take something out for a period, 6 months. It's gotta be a little while, right? 3 months, 6 months. And then smell it and report back.
Yeah. Right? Your body's similar with food too, right? Like if you've done like Whole30 or you've done a month without sugar and then you eat something with sugar, you're like, wow, this is really sweet. Whereas your body, if you're eating sugar regularly, it builds up this tolerance to it. And so you don't notice how sweet it is until you cut it out for a while.
Yeah. 100%. I think that's a really good point of just like, the body will tell you, will show you that thank you in this way. Thank you by making you incredibly averse to all of these scents that are always around. Yeah. I get very sometimes angry, like at a wedding or something when there's tons of perfume. I'm like, this should be illegal. You know, it's so challenging. That's another good one, right? Like perfume, just stop using perfume. Just don't do it.
Yes. Perfume is awful. And I haven't used it in years. And yeah, same. If there's somebody like in my office who's wearing strong perfume, so I'm like, I need to open a window. I need to take a walk. It's so hard to sit there and breathe it in. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is amazing, right? Because those people are literally like, they don't even smell it. Like it smells good to them. So it's just so interesting, you know, just to think about for the listeners, like think about this possibility that like you could really create, you could have an aversion to something that you think is totally fine right now, and what that means. I feel like that's just really interesting to me, like how that works. I don't know if you feel the same. I'm kind of a nerd, but
I totally agree. I totally agree with you. And the idea of really listening to your body and what your body needs and doesn't need.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I have a selfish question for you. May I ask you a selfish question?
Of course.
Okay, great. I find personally laundry detergent to be challenging. Now I order, what's it called? They change their name all the time, but there's this one company that I order from. That's fine. But like when I'm traveling or when I need to, you know, get something from the grocery store, I always stand in that aisle and get so overwhelmed because I'm just like, this has everything in it. You know, what's the plastic? So I'm just curious, like what are some laundry detergents that you like, or what are your feelings on laundry detergent?
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that is a harder one, especially because people have an association, I think, with clean laundry, that there's fresh smell and fresh scent. And if you're using a more natural product, you're not going to have that strong, fresh, what we associate with clean scent, because it's not filled with harmful fragrance and all these chemicals. So I think that partly it's just the adjustment of knowing when you're using a safer laundry detergent, being okay that you're not going to get that like instant fresh, strong smell. That said, a few that I like, there's a brand called Humble Suds. I love this company. They're based out of Boulder, Colorado. It's a female owned company and they make different cleaning products and laundry detergent. They have a laundry soap and everything that they have is made from 5 ingredients. They use essential oils to scent all of their products, whether it's cleaning or laundry. and they're all soap-based products. So you know that you're actually getting rid of any harmful bacteria or dirt and grime because it's a soap. And the way soap works is it clings onto the bacteria to actually break it down and kill that. And eventually that bacteria dies. Whereas an antibacterial is trying to attack the bacteria and germs and kill it. So, you know, just aside, I always avoid anything that's antibacterial. You just want soap. So when it comes to laundry detergent, I like Humble Suds. I haven't used it, but I know a really great brand that people like is Branch Basics. I believe they make a laundry detergent. I recently found, and what we're using now that I really like, is a liquid laundry detergent. And I found it at a refill station. I know not everyone has access to refill stations, but if you look it up, if there's one in your area, it's really cool because you bring your own bottle to the place and you can refill that same bottle over and over. So you're cutting down on single use plastic, and all that material. So that's really cool. I think it's just a local company, so I don't know exactly what it is. And then if you're in a big box grocery store, my go-to is always Seventh Generation, their Free and Clear line.
Yeah, same.
I do avoid their scented product because I don't fully trust what they're using in their fragrance, but they do have their Free and Clear. It's unscented. And that would be my go-to. So yeah, if you're traveling and you need to pick something up, I would go Seventh Generation Free and Clear. A couple other ones that I know are safe, I haven't tried myself, is Molly Suds, which I also believe you can buy in Whole Foods.
Or on Thrive Market has that too. Yeah.
Thrive Market. And then Drops, which I believe is an online company. And they do like a subscription. So it's like a little drop that you just drop into your washing machine. And so those would be great for travel too, because you can just pack a few of them in your bag.
Yeah. And you mentioned something so interesting in the beginning of your answer. And thank you so much for that. I bought Free and Clear on the road. So I'm patting myself on the back. So good job, Cody. But you mentioned something so interesting, which is deconditioning ourselves to what clean smells like. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a really, really interesting point that I just want to go into a little bit with you here, because you've obviously thought about this. Like, we have an idea of what it means to be clean, feel clean, and not just with our clothing, but with our body, like smell clean, all of these things that we associate with. And I think you're going to say this, right? Fragrance. Mm-hmm. So I'm just so curious for you to say a little bit more about that association and that conditioning that we have in our society about cleanliness.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great topic. So much of it is marketing, right? And marketers are really smart. I mean, most of them come from a psychology background, and there is an association between scent and feeling and memories. And marketers, I think, capitalize on that. It's one of our five senses. It's crucial to how we're experiencing the world. And we've all experienced this, right? Where you smell something and you instantly get connected to a memory. And so marketing has tied onto that, in that they're associating this fragrance with cleanliness and also memories. Like, you grow up in a household, mom does laundry. Maybe your dad did laundry back in the day, which is amazing. but you know, maybe you have just a memory of like folding the laundry with your mom and that smell, and that is a connection. And so that is really hard, I think, to disassociate, but so important. And similar to where I say take small steps in your clean journey, I think this also takes small incremental steps. So maybe it's something like ditching your perfume to start with. So you're not being exposed to that scent every single day, swapping out one cleaning product. And as you do that slowly, I think you will start to become deconditioned to those scents. And like we talked about, because your body is now not carrying the burden, you'll become more sensitive to those scents and you'll start to notice an aversion instead of this like pleasant scent and memory.
Yeah. And it can be emotional, to be honest. Like, I think that there can be some emotions attached to that. Like, I found that with myself. I used to find certain scents comforting, or like, you know, I call it smell member, like remember, but with smell,
yeah,
I smell member that, or a taste member that. And so I think it's a valid thing for people to not really just brush that off. Like it's a real thing to sort of, as part of this journey towards a cleaner lifestyle, of like letting go of some of these concepts that we have around scents and cleanliness and all of this stuff. So it's really interesting.
I think it's like a good kind of analogy that just popped in my mind is if you're trying to wean off caffeine, most people recommend you switch to half decaf, half caf to start with, and then slowly increase the ratio of decaf to where you're only drinking decaf and then you cut out coffee altogether. Right. And I think it can be a similar thing when it comes to scents. It's not something I ever really noticed because I did it so slowly. You know, again, first it was maybe the perfume and for me, like deodorant. And then it was laundry and then it was candles, but it wasn't candles. Like I threw away all my candles at once. It was like, right. I started using them less frequently to then where I got to the point of like, I don't need to light a candle. I don't have an association to this smell. I don't feel a need for it to like have that artificial scent. Now I'm just like, I open a window and it smells like fresh air.
I love that. And, you know, I'm curious actually what you think about essential oils and those kinds of, you know, are there any candles that you like? I mean, you don't have to give specific brands, but like, is a candle for you just out or is it just certain types, you know?
Yeah. So I wouldn't say candles are 100% out for me because again, going back to 80-20, every now and then it is really calming and nice to light a candle. Like if I'm taking a bath, I've got my bubble bath, I've got my book, I might also light a candle for some ambiance. I just don't do it every time. When I am lighting a candle though, it is really important to make sure you're using a soy-based wax or coconut, not paraffin, or beeswax. So coconut, soy, or beeswax. Also make sure the wick is 100% cotton. Oftentimes wicks actually have lead laced into them. And so when you burn, you're actually burning lead. And then I do prefer candles that are scented with essential oils, or sometimes you might see one that says like paraben phthalate free fragrance. Right. If you are going to light a candle, I would advise having the windows open too, so that at least any chemicals that are burning off are going out the window. But yeah, those are the must-haves for me are the wax, the wick, and making sure it's at the very least a phthalate paraben-free fragrance, hopefully with essential oils. And then just being mindful of how often you light them. Maybe it's just when you have guests over for dinner, or like I said, you're just taking a nice bath. Essential oils, really interesting topic. I used to diffuse essential oils all the time because I thought they're natural. You know, these companies are saying they have all these health benefits. I had a diffuser next to my bed. I would put lavender, I'd put calm, whatever, you know, thing that's going to maybe help me sleep. And I just liked the scent of it. And then I hadn't really thought of it until actually probably this past year. And another blogger who I follow that I really like, she's amazing, Environmental Toxin Nerd is her Instagram handle. I think she posted something about off-gassing from essential oils and VOCs that are put into the air when you use essential oils. And so I did delve into some of the research. There's not a lot, but there is research that shows that using a diffuser and with essential oils does put in potentially harmful VOCs into the air, and you don't want to be breathing those. So we no longer use essential oils.
It's heartbreaking, right? In some ways. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I used to douse myself with essential oils all the time and they were always on, and I thought the more the better, like you can't overdo this. And it's just a process, right? It's a process of learning. And for me, that was a heartbreaking one. Like that was a tough one. I feel from, you can't see the look on Erica's face if you're listening to this, but I feel like you agree.
Yeah. And I think it was a tough one for a lot of people too, because there are these companies that are promoting essential oils very hardcore and saying all the benefits and claiming that there's research. At the end of the day, I think there's just not a lot of regulation, just as there's not in the personal care products. And so, yeah, I think they're definitely not as beneficial as they're advertised to be and can potentially be harmful if you're diffusing them.
Yeah. And I think that's such great advice too, going back again to this thread that we've pulled throughout this, you know, 80-20 or just occasionally, like it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It's not about like, you can never diffuse an essential oil again. It's just, you know, maybe don't have them on 24/7 or maybe be a little more choosy, that kind of thing, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And to clarify, I realize I said VOCs and listeners might not know what that is, but that's volatile organic compounds. So it's anything that is in the air, particle matters in the air that are harmful when breathed in.
Yeah. And you find them a lot in like paint, and we won't go down that rabbit hole right now. Yes. Furniture and paint, maybe we'll leave for another time, but, yeah, it's a big topic. And, you know, I'm just so, I love your perspective. I love your energy around this. Like, you have such calm, reasonable, you know, I disagree with your husband. I don't know you on a personal level, but in this realm, in your professional life, you're very even and comforting. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Yeah, I try to be. I think life's all about balance. And, you know, there's so many different areas in life where if we're too controlling, I think that we can get carried away and that can control our lives. And so any topic for me is all about balance.
Agree. And also one thing to just say, and then I'll ask you the final question and let you go, but is stress interrupts our ability to detox. So, you know, if this is something, you know, we've been saying this over and over again, but don't let this stress you out, guys, because that's going to be more harmful than anything you could possibly put on your body in a certain way, not necessarily literally, but that stress and that worry and that anxiety that can creep in if you start to think about all of these things in that way is just as harmful as the actual thing.
Yeah, 100%. And we didn't get into this, but I've dealt with gut issues over the years too. And so I've done all these different gut healing protocols. And yeah, I got to a point with that where I was like, you know what? I'm creating so much stress in my life by trying to follow these regimented protocols. And that's probably having more harm than good. So same thing here, like don't stress out about it. Again, your body can detox these chemicals in just 3 days, according to research. Swapping out one product is going to make a difference. Take your time with it. Reach out to me and I'm happy to help and answer any questions.
Thank you so much. This was such a great conversation. I really, really appreciate it. And I know that everyone is just going to be thinking and taking action from these words. So thank you. So here's my last question for you, Erica, which is, what does wellness mean to you?
That's a good question.
I ask everybody. Oh, and take your time.
I should have done my research.
No. It's totally off the cuff. Just take your time whenever you need.
Wellness to me, you know, I heard something recently where it said wealthy is being well and healthy.
And I love that.
Yeah, I resonated with that so much. And so I think wellness to me is similar in that realm. It's living life in a balance that makes you happy and feeling your best. Does that make sense?
Totally. It totally makes sense. And, you know, I think it ties back to everything we've talked about, which is your, you know, keeping balance and not letting yourself get crazed by things. It's so important. I think, you know, one of the things I focus on the most with people, I work with people mostly with gut health issues. And the thing that I find is the game changer for most people is mindset and working with thoughts. And it's the same in this realm, right? It's like what you're saying. It's just, you know, healthy is what you make of it, what you're telling yourself, all of these things. So it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And mindset. I mean, yes, that's so, so important, I think, when it comes to being healthy and wellness. Yeah, it's physical, it's mental, it's everything.
Well, thank you so much again for being here. It was an absolute joy. And everybody, be sure to check out Erica's website, reach out to her on Instagram. I will put all of those links. I'm pointing down, but there is no down, just in the show notes, so you can easily connect with Erica. And thank you again, Erica.
Yeah, thank you so much. Excited to connect with all your listeners.
Awesome. See you later. Bye. I'm going to see you in a minute, but we'll see them later. Bye.
A big thank you again to Erica Barron of Clean Living with Erica. You can connect with Erica and dig into all the amazing and helpful information she shares on her Instagram at Clean Living with Erica and her website, cleanlivingwitherica.com. Both are linked for you down below in the show notes. And a big thank you to you, my friends, for embarking on this path with me of exploring what it means to be well in this wacky world of ours. If you like this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you could take the time to subscribe, rate, review, and share it with some friends. To show my thanks, each month I'll be picking one reviewer at random to gift a complimentary VIP consultation and emotion code healing. I also have a few spots left in my highly discounted summer gut health program, so shoot me an email or DM on the socials if you feel like one of those spots might be yours. I'm excited to be with you again next week, same time, same place, otherwise known as every Wednesday. See you next time. Bye.